So this homily is the second in a series on the theme of waiting. As I mentioned last week, the theme of the homily last week is waiting for direction. I am personally in a place of struggle with waiting. Waiting is difficult as I'm waiting for direction in the diocese to help me lead the parish. But I believe my struggle is not alone and unique. I believe there's struggles in our community, in our parish family body, of waiting, the struggle to wait for direction. Today's theme is waiting for love. And what I'm going to do, like last week, I'm going to look at a passage of the Bible where someone did not wait and kind of the messiness that happened there. This week, I'm going to be focusing on the first reading again, looking at an account of waiting. Then, second, I'm going to ask, what does it have to do with us? And third, what does it have to do with the gospel? So, this passage of waiting I'm looking at comes from Genesis 16. Today's first reading is Genesis 18. But in this time, we're in this period of time with Abraham and Sarah. They're waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to them. That God said to Abraham, you will be the father of a great nation of many peoples. Abraham first received this call at the age of 75. A few chapters later in Genesis 16, 10 years have passed. You can sense the anguish of this couple as they're waiting. Whenever Sarah says in Genesis 16, verse 2, since God has kept me from having children. There's this anguish that they're waiting at the age of 75. God gives them promise of a miraculous child. Nothing's happened in 10 years. So today's reading is anticipating the fulfillment of the promise when they receive Isaac. But in between then, they get tired of waiting. And what does Sarah say? She says, the Lord has prevented me from having children. And then she says, go to my servant. Perhaps I shall have a child by her. So she has there's a younger woman in the house, Hagar, an Egyptian maidservant. And Sarah says, maybe I can have a son through her, Abraham. And Abraham is a willing accomplice in this plan. He's like, okay, sure. I'll go do this thing. Okay. Now, at the very, very start of the birth of a son by Hagar, Ishmael, like you can tell, this is not God's plan. Hagar becomes resentful of Sarah. Sarah mistreats Hagar to the point that she leaves. But even then, even when Hagar leaves with her son, the Lord gives the promise to Ishmael that he will give through him, that he will have many descendants. God will bless Ishmael. Okay. Now, to speak of the real consequence of this lack of waiting, I'll just give you this historical detail. Do you know who claims to be the sons, the children, part of Abraham's family tree, of Isaac, his son through Sarah? Do you know, like today, who claims to be part of that family tree, the children of Abraham through Isaac, son of Abraham and Sarah? Do you know who claims to be part of that family tree? The Jews. We have been grafted. 99% of us, we're not Jewish Christians. We're Gentiles. We're not of the family tree of Abraham. We've been grafted on by our baptism. So we are part of the family tree by grace. But the Jews are a family tree by their heritage. Ishmael, do you know who today claims to be the children of the family tree of Abraham through Ishmael? The Muslims. Fascinating how thousands of years ago, this couple, not wanting to wait, created tension at the moment he was born. There was tension. But that tension has remained with our human family for thousands of years. And now it's becoming lethal. God does not want that, obviously. But God lets us sit with the consequences of our actions. God can bring it together. But it's difficult when both sides aren't letting him. Okay. So that's lack of, challenge of waiting. What does that have to do with us? Waiting for love. Waiting for love. I believe there are many situations similar to Abraham's and Sarah's where our people are struggling to wait. As I bring this up, this is a difficult topic. This is a very difficult topic. I do not bring this up in condemnation, but just to recognize, there's a lot of mess in our families. And how much of that mess is account of us not wanting to wait? It's not the only thing. But all of us have these dynamics in our families. So I want to look at three areas where culturally you are told, not by your Catholic faith, but by the just American culture, you are being informed not to wait in these three situations. If you listen to the culture, it's going to be a struggle. All right. The first is couples engaged should be married. The second are couples who are struggling with infertility, very much like Abraham and Sarah. The third are couples who are divorced and remarried outside the church. Each of these has their own struggles of waiting. The couple who is engaged to be married, the culture tells you, live together. Try it out. It's cheaper. Okay? Again, that's what the culture says. You save money. All the reasons not to wait. Okay? For the couple who's struggling with infertility, science to the rescue. You can go to this clinic and you could take care of it. You can pay a lot of money. And what do we have now? You may say, and look, every situation, God, if a child comes in this situation, God's going to bless. If a child is born out of wedlock, yes, God's going to bless you with a child. Bring that child to be baptized. If you receive a child through in vitro fertilization, that child's a gift. But you have to admit, we've created a really awkward situation where we have thousands and thousands of embryos who are in a cryogenic prison. So we've created this awkward, very awkward situation on account of our unwillingness to wait. And then finally, the couple who've been divorced and remarried and coming up to receive communion. Again, it's hard to wait for an annulment. It's hard to wait for that process. I've heard you tell me that. But I'm just part of our faith is if I step outside of God's plan for the gift of sexuality, it's going to impact my relationship with Father. If I'm not taking marching orders from or direction from God, who's the author of sex and sexuality? If I'm not taking directions from God, then where are you taking directions from? Ultimately, it's from yourself. This is what I believe. It's going to impact your ability to have a relationship with God. So these three areas are waiting. Now, again, I say this. This is the reality. God didn't bring you here. If you're in this place, to condemn you. But let me get to the gospel. I think there is hope. I believe there is hope. Let me get to the gospel. And I believe there's hope for whatever situation you find you're in. This or some other situation. What does this have to do with the gospel? Jesus said to Martha, and how many of us are in this situation? This is a bigger group, right? Those who are struggling with waiting in a romantic relationship. That's a subsection of us. But this is so many more of us. The anxiety of Lord, you're not fixing the situation. My sister's not doing anything. And Lord, I'm doing this. I'm waiting for you to tell her to help me. That's very many more of us who are in the Martha mindset. All right. But what's beautiful here? I can't claim credit for this. Someone shared this with me recently. Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you were anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. All right. Where else in the Bible do you have God speaking to someone and saying their name two times? It actually happens far fewer times than you would think. I'll just give three examples. I think there are a few more. Moses, Samuel, and Saul. Moses, at the burning bush. Moses is shepherding. He's just being a shepherd, trying to just do his thing. He sees a bush burning. He approaches, and he hears from the bush, "Moses, Moses." It's the call of God to let my people go. Samuel, a young boy who's sleeping in the temple. His dad's the priest. He hears the voice of the Lord. He doesn't know what it is. He goes to his dad, "Here I am." Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." This happens a couple of times. Then Eli realizes God is talking to my son. He says, "Go. Next time you hear it, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" Samuel, Samuel, the Lord says. A young boy. And from that moment, his life takes a dramatic turn. Saul, on the very road to persecute, to imprison, to punish Christians. Blinded by God coming, breaking into his life. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Life takes a 180 degree. Do you realize we celebrate Martha as Saint Martha? You can pray to Martha in your own anxiety. And she is a saint who heard the call of God, and perhaps this was the day that her life was changed forever, and that she would go back to this again and again in her life. "Martha, Martha," the words of God speaking to her, "you were anxious about many things." The Lord identifying where she is. But then the Lord inviting her from that world of anxiety, the Martha mindset. There's need of only one thing. And this is one thing I want to share from the Encounter Conference. What is the one thing? Beautiful how Jesus doesn't say it. He invites you. What is the one thing? I'll just share what I heard at the Encounter Conference, and you're going to hear it in just a minute, because high five musicians, they picked this song without me giving the homily. All right, before I give the homily, but you'll hear it after the offertory. Psalm 27. "There's one thing I ask the Lord, for this do I long, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." One thing. So from that, Jesus, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious. There's need of only one thing." Come out of the place in the world where you have to solve all your problems, where you have to take care of all your own needs, where in your anxiety for waiting that you feel you have to step out of God's plan to figure it out on your own. Come into the Father's house. Your Father wants to provide. Yes, in that place of struggling, waiting, the Father wants to provide. And this is where I believe, this is what I'm praying for, parish renewal. Whoever here is struggling with waiting, whether it's waiting for love, waiting for direction, or waiting for life, you are not alone. But yet, as Catholics, we live in isolation, relatively, spiritual isolation. My dream of renewal in the parish is to connect those who are struggling with waiting with those who have struggled with waiting in your same situation, whether it's engagement, that struggle, whether it's infertility, whether it's annulment, or any others. There is someone here with a similar story. I believe God wants to connect you to each other. He wants to provide that help, that shoulder to lean on, that shoulder to cry on, that shoulder to open up your heart, to find a deeper connection. And from that person, right? Because if I tell you God wants to speak your name, many of you are like, "Huh? Huh?" There's also someone here who knows what it is for the Lord to speak your name. And God says, I want to help you hear your name through this brother or sister in Christ, helping you, leading you, walking with you. Okay? So, let us just pray that wherever we are in our life, we may be aware it's the Lord who knows us. He's loving us, even if we're struggling, even if we are taking our own path. It's the Lord who's loving us now. He's calling us now. And He wants to be a Father who provides, whether peace in a difficult situation, or whether it's a Christian brother and sister, to walk with me in my difficult waiting. Let us pray that we may be open to God, who wants to be near His children. Amen.